This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are obviously in a situation where we have some pressure. We have to win the games, no other chance. And then you go to Old Trafford against a team in form. It was tough. Start was not good. Our start, we struggled on the wings, defending the wings. They outnumbered us there, or they wanted to overload there. We had to adapt to that. It took a while until after the goal, unfortunately. But then when we started doing that, when we adapted to that, then we were really in the game. We scored two goals, great, going half time. Everybody knows this season, second half is United's half. They usually turn games around. They're probably not too bothered or maybe even happy at being half time, one down. We had our moments where we were a little bit unlucky with counter-attacks. They scored a second one. It was clear we needed another counter-attack, and the fourth goal was brilliant. Top awareness, vision from Curtis Moore, exactly like we know him. Super convincing goal. It did look like the easiest thing in the world. So top, what can I say, 4-2 at Old Trafford didn't happen before to us since I'm there. So obviously something we must have done right tonight.
On the Ball kicks off now on BFM 89.9.
Jurgen Klopp speaking after Liverpool's 4-2 win against Manchester United early Friday morning. A win that boosts the Reds' top four hopes once again. It is the Friday show with me, Ross, and the guys. I've got Bob Holmes here. Hello, Bob.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you. Des Corkill is also here. Hello, Des.
Looking forward to discussing VAR and the Premier League charter that says clubs must behave with the utmost good faith to each other.
Content, I tell you, full of content that man is. Craig Marais also joins us. Hello, Craig.
Hello.
Right, Craig's a United fan. It's not been a good week results-wise for Man United. We're going to talk about their two defeats first. We heard Jurgen Klopp at the start. We'll talk about the Liverpool game soon. But on Tuesday, a weakened Man United side played Leicester City at Old Trafford. This was literally 48 hours after their last league game and against Aston Villa. And they lost. They lost 2-1. It was a defeat that handed Manchester City the Premier League title. Bob Holmes, it was a strange game. You can't blame Solskjaer for fielding who he fielded, because literally it was 48 hours after. The players were drained, weren't they?
Yes. Jurgen Klopp said he would have done the same thing.
I think most managers would have,
shoes.
Right?
Yeah. You can't complain about that. Liverpool didn't complain. If there was going to be a choice between losing to Leicester and losing to Liverpool, you know which one United would prefer. As it turned out, they lost to both. But that's by the by. He didn't know that at the time. So, weakened side. Leicester took advantage of it. United didn't really save themselves, did they? Now, with the benefit of hindsight, that's always the danger. I mean, once you kind of take your foot off the ball, relax a little bit, there's no danger of being caught. There's no danger of catching City. There was really not an awful lot to play for, strange as it sounds, except pride.
Yeah.
And of course, Liverpool, there was a lot to play for. But you saw the problem and how reliant United have been on Harry Maguire. I felt that the curse of the centre-backs was still happening for Liverpool. And even though it went through a United player, if Maguire had been there for that second goal, I think he would have headed away and Leicester wouldn't have won. So I was thinking at the time, wow, this curse, it really is something. But of course, Maguire couldn't play in against Liverpool. So they took advantage of that there. United, a bit of a nothing performance, a nothing game. And didn't lead to anything, did it?
No.
So, Leicester, they had to win that. And also, from a morale point of view, I think boost their morale before the cup final this weekend. So, good win for Leicester, but they've still got it all to do.
Yeah, it's a win that boosts Leicester's top four hopes, because remember, they faded the last two seasons. They now only need 4 points, Des, from their final two games to secure a top four finish. We'll talk about Liverpool in a few moments, but it's gearing up this top four fight, isn't it?
You don't get away from the Man United issue that easily, Ross. Nice try. Firstly, congratulations to Manchester City. Listen, I'm reading you from the Premier League chart here. Clubs must behave with the utmost good faith to each other. To actually put the team that United did out against Leicester was categorically a slap in the face to their visitors 48 hours later. You cannot tell me that it is good faith to have two teenage debutants starting in a match against a potential Champions League rival. You cannot tell me that that was the strongest team, which is also section L19 of the FA Premier book. Every league game, each participating club shall field a full strength team. You cannot tell me that playing two debutant teenagers is fielding anything like a full strength team. You cannot tell me that fielding players who have not started since January, February and March in your starting 11 is either fielding a full strength team or creating the utmost good faith to your other clubs. What Manchester United did in that game against Leicester, no matter how forgiving Jurgen Klopp was, no matter how forgiving everybody else has been, is akin to match fixing. No less. They have thrown that game and they have done it with not deliberate contempt. They've tried their best when they've got on the field, but it is wretched what they have done. It is every bit as bad as any form of cheating that you are aware of. So fun, so good that they lost both games. But what they did was absolutely appalling for a club of their standard.
Okay, now I'm going to throw it over to Craig Marais, and he is going to call. I'm sure the rules are in there somewhere that says your 23 squad players are your first team squad players, Craig.
Yeah, but I'd like to tell Des about that team that they played in the FA Cup against Villa a couple of years ago.
That has no bearing against another team.
When you talk about throwing a game away, shall I say? I mean, you got to remember that. I mean, they literally played an under-19 team or whatever it was.
That is a cup game. It has no impact
United
on other players or other teams in the league.
A game where they had internationals, World Cup winner. They had internationals. They had players that cost them 20 million on the field. And they played two debutants. One of them, who's played in the Europa League, has scored against AC Milan and has been a big signing for United in the transfer window. It's to claim that United have thrown the game away. And who's to say that's not the strongest team that they could have played out 48 hours after they've actually played Aston Villa in a Premier League match?
Yeah.
With three games in 5 days, it's physically impossible, especially with the Europa League coming up.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is
well within his rights to field whichever team he is, because it's a team that's listed. It's a team, all those players that played are part of a team that is submitted to the Premier League every season. At the start of the season, you talked about the 25-man squad. Why not utilise it? Why are you not allowed to utilise your 25-man squad?
So why didn't you give debuts earlier in the year?
It's up to the manager.
Why didn't he?
It's up to the manager to pick a team. And he's well within his rights to pick a team that he thinks can win a match. And that's his.
Okay.
That's why they're
massively dishonest. Incredibly dishonest.
Okay, right. All right. We've got two points of view. A, if you guys listening have a point of view, do drop us your comment on our Facebook page. We're going to move on from this. We're going to stick
Have my point of view, Ross?
Yeah. We're going to stick with United and kind of edge into the Liverpool game as well, Bob, where Liverpool really put themselves back into the running for the top four. But yeah, Bob, which side are you leaning on? Match fixing or just utilizing your score?
I think match fixing is way, way over the top. I think if that's the case, then just about every manager, almost every game this season, would be guilty of match fixing.
Pep Guardiola every week.
Exactly. Managers don't always pick their strongest side. I mean, that's from the beginning of time. And in a season like this, where the fixtures are coming at you constantly, you juggle the squad and you mix and match. And this was an exceptional case. They had three games in, 5 days?
And whose fault was that?
Nothing at stake. Whose fault was it? Well, yes. you could say it was their fans' fault.
It's absolutely fans' fault, yeah. and them allowing fans into the stadium to have the game postponed. Manchester United have taken no possession of the responsibility for any of this.
Yeah, but Des, you're stretching it a bit to blame Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for letting the fans into the ground, aren't you?
It's a club.
Okay.
The Premier League has given the club a fixture. It could have been played next week, by the way.
It could have also been played next week.
There's a gap next week where this fixture could have easily been played in. But the Premier League, for whatever reason, have decided to do that. We just go along with it. And like I said, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is well within his rights to pick a squad that he wants.
That, I'm making an opinion because I've been asked for an opinion. You honestly think that that team is as strong as he could have picked?
Yeah, for a Tuesday game, I would have.
I never said that. But
in fact, let me join in on the United app. I predicted 10 out of the 11. The only one I didn't get was the Elanga. Yeah, that's the only one.
And can I just say, the players that played, I mean, Leicester scraped that game, by the way. It wasn't a thrashing by any stretch of the imagination. It was a 2-1.
Well done, plucky Man United. Well done, plucky Man. Oh, isn't it great to see the underdogs compete so well against Leicester.
I love how Liverpool fans think that they may not qualify for the Champions League due to United. I mean, look at your team. You've got yourselves in that position. You've been crap the whole season.
I haven't mentioned Liverpool at all, mate. Not once.
Okay, wait.
I'm aggrieved because they have actually slapped in the face the charter of the Premier League and rule section L19. That's why I'm aggrieved. Yeah, so all bets are off. All bets are off.
But then
Liverpool go and beat them, which was so funny.
But there's that's your perception of rule L19. The Premier League will see that their rule L19 was not broken. Let's move on. Let's talk about how good Liverpool.
You're being incredibly dishonest. Incredibly.
Well, it's the way the rules are, aren't they? I mean,
oh, that's okay then. Let's manipulate. Let's cheat. Let's work our little measly way to manipulate every way we can.
It's funny how it's one for one, another for another.
Okay,
a league game and a cup game. A league game has implications. A league game has implications on other teams in the league. A cup game does not. A cup game. Mate, you are conflating two.
There's money still involved.
Things.
Yeah, but money's still involved.
You can't.
The only thing it impacts is Liverpool.
You can't pick and choose games to choose.
There we go. So you can't Liverpool then. There
you can't pick and choose.
You're the one who brought Liverpool up,
guys.
Well, yeah, that's why you agreed.
Des, you agree that it is cheating. You can't pick and choose games to cheat in, whether they are league games or cup games.
So it's a little matter of fact that Liverpool were also representing in the FIFA World Club Cup.
A
game within how many hours?
48 hours in a different country.
Okay. All right.
In a different area.
Let's move on. And let's stick with Liverpool a little bit. And let's talk about the good football they played. They were under pressure, Bob. They went to Old Trafford. They did all they could, really. This was United's stronger side. Songs, Harry Maguire. But Liverpool were good. Liverpool were up for it. They went one down and they showed fight.
Yeah, it was more like the old Liverpool. There were only minor changes. Mane was left out, I think deservedly so, even though he didn't like it. And Firmino, who possibly, it was probably a toss-up between Mane and Firmino, who was left out, ended up with two goals and should have had a hat-trick. So it was a good night for Liverpool, but you've got to say that the game was run by Alexander Arnold.
Yeah.
And I was delighted to see that Gareth Southgate was there, because if that didn't win him a place in the Euros, I do not know what would. He was absolutely brilliant. He played like a midfield player, which a lot of people say he could end up being a midfield player. And he was one in his younger days. He's still only 22. Hard to believe for a player showing that sort of maturity. absolutely fantastic performance, overshadowed Thiago with his passing. And this is from right back. You know, that was something. Liverpool thoroughly deserved to win. United could have nicked a draw with a couple of chances late on. I think had Jota not hit the post, Liverpool would have been cruising, would have been 4-1. And United wouldn't have come back from that. But there were some nervous moments. And then Salah got his usual goal at the end. So a very good performance. And it gives Liverpool a fighting chance now of making the top four. I think most people had overlooked the fact that Chelsea and Leicester have got to play each other in the league. That's something we didn't really take into consideration, I think. And obviously points are going to be dropped one way or another, or possibly both. So it gives Liverpool a chance to get level with Leicester, and they could nick it on goal difference. But Liverpool have got to win every game. That's the thing.
All right. We'll talk about their weekend fixture soon. We've got to move along swiftly to clear up the midweek matches. Fulham were sadly relegated from the Premier League on Monday night. They lost at home to Burnley. It's the earliest that all three clubs have been relegated from the Premier League, Craig. Three games to go, all three confirmed. You can't really complain. They are the three worst teams in the league, aren't they?
Yeah, the league table doesn't lie at the end of the day. And Fulham, for all the good football that, you know, that you see from them, you know, they came unstuck, and I think it was just a step too much. I think the first, you know, half of the season, you know, they were doomed to be relegated. They never really got out of that. They tightened it up at the back. I thought they, you know, defensively at the start, they were shocking, being torn apart by teams. And then, you know, they've obviously worked on a bit of shape, and they started defending a lot better. But for me, it's the other end of the field where they really struggled, and that was scoring goals. You know, I think Scott Parker will come out of this, you know, looking all right. You know, I don't think he's any danger of losing his job or getting the sack. But, you know, he will reiterate, you know, the need to sign players if they want to get back into the Premier League. And they've got to do a much better job. I think, you know, like I said, you know, scoring goals was a big problem. Mitrovic, for whatever reason, didn't really feature for Scott Parker. His top scorer last season in the Championship didn't really feature much, was more of a rotational option. And then you see, you know, young kids like Josh Maggio come up and, you know, get a start here and there and get a couple of goals. But that centre forward position never really got solved by Scott Parker and Fulham. So I think, yeah, you know, they fought till the end, but it was just never going to be enough. You know, the gap was too big.
Yeah, let's see if they what their bounce ability is, bounce back ability, whatever that word is. Ian Dowie created that word, didn't he?
No, Martin O'Neill.
Martin O'Neill, was it? Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. And Dowie took the credit. How dare he? All right. We go into the break with, just to remind you, Chelsea lost 1-0 to Arsenal, Emile Smith-Rowe, with capitalising on a Jorginho mistake. So that, in a nutshell, with a bit of heated discussion, is segment one done. We go into the break, we cool Des down with a bit of ice, and we'll be back right after this.
Has come up with something beyond ordinary. That is a brilliantly elastic save.
This is On The Ball on BFM 89.9.
Oh, it's a bizarre! That is a gem of a hit!
This is On The Ball on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. Bob Holmes, Des Corkill and Craig Marias joining me to look forward to the weekend's football. Of course, it is the FA Cup final weekend. We'll talk about that in due course. Scattered league matches throughout the weekend, starting with a Friday night match. 16th place Newcastle take on champions Manchester City. Now, the citizens will have, I don't know, Des, do you think they have much to play for? I know they've got a Champions League final, but if you're Pep Guardiola now, what do you do? Do you keep the likes of Phil Foden wrapped in cotton wool, or do they have to play in the run-up to the final?
You have to play in the run-up to the final because the worst thing they could possibly do is just have long rests and then suddenly be expected to turn up onto the big occasion. So for Pep Guardiola, keep the rotation going. Keep using the full squad of players who played regularly in your team throughout the rest of the, of this season and build up towards that Champions League final, which is the biggest occasion in Manchester City's career. Man City fans would love it to be the old-fashioned Manchester City who are in the Champions League final. But it's the new one. It's the state-funded one. But Pep Guardiola's got the responsibility to make sure all of his players are fit and ready and firing for that Champions League final. So don't take Newcastle lightly. And finish the season. Well, if they win both their games, it's only going to be 86 points, which I think is the lowest for quite a number of years that the title's been won. So try and go out and win the title with as many points as you possibly can.
Yeah, for Newcastle, they're safe now because due to a recent upturn in forms, Bob, I believe they've got 3 wins in their last 5. But there's always a caveat when you talk about Newcastle. I understand Callum Wilson is probably out for the rest of the season. He's done his hamstring in or something.
Oh, dear. Out for the Euros exactly. As well, then, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have much luck with injuries, do they, Newcastle? Particularly him. He's hardly played, has he, since he joined? Newcastle, well, yeah, what does Steve Bruce tell them now? They don't have very much to play for, but they, as you say, they're on Europa League form, aren't they, at the moment? 3 yeah. wins out of 5, but that's way beyond them. They get a couple of million pounds more for finishing each position higher in the table. So I guess Mike Ashley might send them a memo and say, look, lads, you know, not much to play for, but there's probably another 8 million or so for me. If they finish a couple of places higher. So that's it, really, for them. But I think they would want to... I mean, they have been playing quite well, to be fair. This has not been a fluke. And I think they would want to build on that. Steve Bruce certainly would want to build on that if he's got any chance of keeping the job for next season. So there is something to play for. And... test themselves against Man City, the champions, who may or may not feel the weakened side. So, yeah, interesting prospect. Is it worth getting up for tonight? Possibly not. Maybe the highlights.
Maybe if you're on your way back to the bedroom from the kitchen after that long walk around your house. But, Craig, who do you fancy, Newcastle or City? How will City line up, you reckon? And will Newcastle put on a show? If this was a packed St. James's Park, you go, there's no way they wouldn't give 100%. But you can't blame them now as well, you know?
Who's that? Who wouldn't give 100%?
Newcastle. Yeah.
Newcastle. I mean, you know, like Bob said, you know, I think Newcastle are a weird one this season, you know, because they obviously went through that spell. They've continuously missed their best players in Saint-Maximin, Wilson, for various reasons. And on paper, I keep saying it, you know, they've really got a decent squad. You know, they should never be in the position that they are. But the question is, as Bob touched upon, you know, they just never fit at the same time. You know, you get a Saint-Maximin and then you get Callum Wilson injured. You know, you get Callum Wilson fit and then Saint-Maximin's injured. And you're talking about 2 of your best players there. Almiron's always there, but, you know, he just doesn't quite have the right decision-making for me at times. A fantastic little player, but, you know, can be so much better. I think this is an easy win for City. Whoever Pep Guardiola puts out, you know, I mean, I think Kevin De Bruyne is injured, which is a big blow for him. And they're going to do everything that they can to get him fit for the Champions League final. But expect some rotation. I wouldn't say it'll be a full strength City side. I think, you know, players like Ferran Torres, who's been, you know, kind of in and out of the squad, will get a start. Let's not forget Aguero. It's his last 2 games as a City player, or last 2 games in the Premier League.
No penalty duties, player. For sure.
No penalties, yeah, of course. I mean, actually, that might be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Pep would want him to, you know, sign off on a high and things like that. So if City do get another penalty, don't be surprised if Aguero still steps up and takes it. You know, I mean, I think we can safely agree that it won't be a Panenka type penalty, but I would still expect him to take it, you know, with this being his last two games.
Do you know what? I would love it if he did take one and it was a Panenka. Then we'll all be talking about it on Monday. Going,
well, yeah, we probably would, you know. I mean, and I don't think the keeper would be expecting it either.
No, exactly.
So he'd probably dive out of the way.
All right.
You know, I read where Panenka practiced this for 2 years in training. And missed most of the time. But he still did it in a European final.
If you practice it, you know, during training for 2 years, surely your own keeper knows that.
Exactly. I was just going to say, the keeper was just standing there all day.
But it wasn't his own keeper, was it?
All right. Interestingly, City have only won one of their last four away against Newcastle. That is your 3 a.m. kickoff on Saturday morning, Newcastle against Man City. Burnley against Leeds United is your early Saturday evening game, 7:30 p.m. Burnley and Leeds both looking to string together successive victories. Both were actually quite impressive last time out, Des Corkill. Burnley, I know your thoughts about Burnley, so I'm going to push you towards Leeds United and Marcelo Bielsa. And what do you think he's done with this Leeds team? They're in 10th. Going into the weekend, they're looking like they should finish top half.
I'm so fascinated by this fixture. I'm actually going to go all Bob on you and just say the Burnley versus Leeds reminds me of Eddie Gray's two goals in the 1970 game. And if you've got YouTube, go onto YouTube, go and look at two wonderful goals by Eddie Gray. That's more inviting to me.
The dribble, isn't it? What wasn't it? The dribble.
There's the dribble, but there's also a 40-yard lob as well. Goalkeeper Mella, two in the same game. Because we've now got so many dead rubbers at the end of this Premier League, other than that battle for the top four, is it a problem? No, it's not a problem, but it shows you that the league isn't quite as competitive as it once was. If you're going into the season three games from the end where everything apart from one Champions League slot is decided, then something isn't quite right. So the history books can be memorable for many reasons. A, the goals, but also to remember how competitive the league used to be. It's not as competitive as it once was.
Yeah. Chris Wood is currently on fire for Burnley.
I love the way he just ignores me. Very good.
Being an ex-Leeds striker, this might be fun for him. Burnley, Bob, have scored 6 in their last 2. I mean, I had to look that up 3 times. But there's a massive caveat here. They haven't won in their last 8 at home. And that's why they are where they are.
Yeah. I don't know whether they've just consciously decided to start playing differently or whether the goals are just going in. I think the jury might still be out on that one. But I don't think Sean Dyche is in any danger of losing his job. He's done magnificently to keep them up there. They went down once, they kept faith in him and they brought them back up, and he's kept them there for about 3 seasons now. And I think that regardless of the methods he's used, he's got very limited resources there. And I think he deserves an awful lot of credit.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a mystery why he is never linked with a top job. I don't think it's entirely down to the way they play. I think it's something he's perceived as not an establishment man. He's, you know, he might be a bit rough for the top teams or something, but he's done one hell of a job. I wouldn't say he should be manager of the year or anything like that, but he does deserve a lot of credit for this. So well done to him. And I mean, they're finishing quite comfortably, aren't they?
Yeah,
now, after a few scares. And Leeds, nothing much to play for. They might sneak into the Europa Conference,
yeah,
but I don't think they'll be busting a gut to get there, actually.
That's a whole separate show, that one, the Europa Conference.
They might be busting one to avoid it, in fact. Des might be going through the rule book again after the team Bielsa picks. You never know.
Yeah, true.
To be honest, we can't dress this up in any other way than a game that you can afford to miss, frankly.
But you won't, because it is dinner time and we've built it up so well.
We have got this program to do. We are supposed to comment on all these games. So we are very dutiful about our business.
All right. Team news. Leeds have been boosted by the return of Liam Cooper. Burnley will be missing Robbie Brady. So that's your early kickoff on Saturday. Burnley 15th against Leeds United 10th. We're going for another break. Back right after this.
We wondered if he'd make a difference. So he beats him all, ends up, doesn't he?
Stay on the ball on BFM 89.9.
And once more, footballers of all racial backgrounds take a knee to express a united opinion that Black Lives Matter.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's the Friday show with me, Ross, along with Bob Holmes, Craig Marias and Des Corkill. And it being Friday means that we have our TFIF on video out. Do check it out, because the Spanish, Italian and German seasons all drawing to a close, and it is super exciting there as well. All right, on with our weekend preview, the FA Cup final coming up. But first, some of the league matches. Brighton in 17th take on fifth placed West Ham, Sunday, 3 a.m. Suddenly, Craig Marias, this becomes a very important game for West Ham United based on where they have been in the table this season, what they've done so far. You'd expect them to win now. And the thing is, their fans would expect them to win as well, surely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's still a lot to play for West Ham. You know, I think, you know, over the last few games, they've kind of come off the boil a little bit. But, you know, to be competing for European football at this stage is something that none of us here could have anticipated at the start of the season, you know. So, David Moyes, for me, you know, you talk about your managers of the year. I think Pep Guardiola, obviously, you know, fantastic performance from City and his team. But I think for me, it's a no-brainer. It has to be David Moyes. I think the job that he's done there has just been incredible this season. We're talking about, you know, from where they were last season to kind of, they've had a couple of signings here and there. But, I mean, nothing that really stood out to you in August to say, look, West Ham will be competing. So a lot of credit has to be due to him. But West Ham will get that sense of feeling where, you know, we're almost there. We can do it. If we string, you know, the last couple of games together, you know, we can really cement that place in European football. And what an achievement that would be for West Ham and their fans. You know, three games left for them. It's there. It's within touching distance for them. But, you know, they've got obviously Spurs are behind them right there. Liverpool 2 points away. Liverpool showing some good momentum going into the end. So it'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, this is, you know, Moyes will be looking at this game and thinking it's 3 points up for grabs here. You know, we need to get that 3 points.
Absolutely. And according to Bruno Fernandes, Des Corkill, the form player over the last 10 matches is undoubtedly Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, Jesse Lingard, like West Ham, have gone off the boil in the last few weeks. Is it three defeats in the last four or so? So when Lingard was firing them in, it was looking all good, but they have fallen off. I've got to agree with Craig. It is remarkable. I predicted they would plummet like a stone. They're beginning to plummet now, but just 20 games later than I anticipated. they've done really well. Mikel Antonio has been good defensively. The likes of Dawson Diop have been strong. Suchek, to me, has been outstanding. I don't know if he can get player of the year, but he should be in the reckoning for it because he has made such a difference to them, both their solidity with Rice in the heart of midfield, Rice now injured, but also what he adds going forward, his late runs into the box. I've been a big fan of Suchek. I always thought that they're a team that play on the breakaway. And I'm not a biggest fan of teams who just like to suck in and play on the breakaway. But Moyes has got them down to perfection. There's 9 points available. They've got a relatively, in inverted commas, easy run in. They've got West Brom and Southampton in their remaining game. So 67 points should be their target. And 67 could well be enough to get them certainly Europa League, possibly in a top four. So there's still a ton to play for. They've just got to keep going and keep believing and get 9 points out of nine. Like Liverpool, I've got to get every game. West Ham, I've got to win every game, because you can't write off Tottenham. You can't write off Everton, despite their fallibilities as well. It's been a fascinating battle for the fourth and fifth place in the league. West Ham still right in there.
Yeah, for Brighton, New Maupay and Lewis Dunk will be suspended, both red carded in their last game. They're 17th, Bob, but maybe the position belies them because they're better than 17th. And looks like Graham Potter's been going to be given time. Will he be given the cash to build on this side is another question. But good effort so far, right?
Yeah. Well, he'll get time. He's got time. I think he signed a 6-year contract.
All about the money now, isn't it?
At the beginning of the season. Yeah. That's what Brighton do. I mean, it's a touch of Alan Pardew. Remember, he got 8 years at Newcastle.
7-year contract.
It didn't last, though, did it? we wish him better luck than Alan Pardew anyway. No, he's done a good job. But, I mean, you say give them marks out of 10. I wouldn't give them many for finishing. That's the problem, isn't it? They play nice football. They're reasonably solid at the back. But the finishing has let them down. And that's why they've always been looking over their shoulders until the last couple of games at relegation. They've got to get a top-class striker or even a second-rate striker, because the guys they score 4 or 5 goals a season. Strikers, this is not good enough. And that's why they've struggled. That's why they've had to battle and rely on their defence to keep the goals down and eke out points here and there. They've had too many draws when they could have won games. And watching them, you could say they're a mid-table side. When they get into the opposition penalty area, or on those rare occasions, they can't finish. Mm. And that's a glaring weakness, and that's got to be addressed. So I think most of the money that they spend in the transfer window has got to be on at least one striker.
All right. The Hammers have lost 3 of their last 4, Newcastle, Chelsea and Everton. Brighton against West Ham then is Sunday, 3 a.m., that one kicks off. Leave it up to you whether you stay up for that. Tottenham against Wolves is slightly at a more palatable time. 9:05 p.m. kickoff. For Tottenham, they're currently 7th, Des. They are one of Liverpool's competitors for the top 4, but maybe they've got a bit more to do.
Yes, they do. Getting wins is the first thing that they've got to do. The loss against Leeds was numbing for them, because it was a deserved loss. Prior to that, they'd beaten Sheffield United and lost to Man City. They're Jekyll and Hyde. They're so reliant upon Harry Kane. But does Harry Kane want to stay there? They've got a tough run-in after Wolves. They've got Villa, who are still battling for every point. And then they're away at Leicester, who may well be just wanting to secure their Champions League slot. So there's a ton of work for Tottenham to do. And when we remember that they were top of the table with a megastar manager in November, it's been quite numbing for Tottenham fans. I'm fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to be in correspondence with several Tottenham fans, and they do not believe what has happened. They look at their squad of players and they think there's no way we should be scrapping for 6th or 7th place. Where are they? The 7th at the moment. There's no way they should be that far down the league. And you look at the list of players that they've got, and you've got to agree with them. But that implosion since being top of the league, since that defeat at Anfield, has been as spectacular, not quite as spectacular as Liverpool, but as spectacular as anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Really don't know where it went wrong.
Ryan Mason, the interim coach, Craig, at Spurs. The one thing I would say about Ryan Mason, having watched Spurs all season, is Ndombele. He looked a world-class midfielder. He has all the tricks. He has a turn of pace. And he had that really purple patch under Mourinho. He's hardly figured under Ryan Mason. So you got to, I don't know whether it points to the player, whether he needs G'ing up. And what do you think? And is it one of the reasons why Spurs are struggling for you?
Yeah, I think what Ryan Mason has done is he's come in, and I think with Mourinho, he obviously had his favourites, and he, you know, he made a few plays outcast in that team. Thinking about, you know, your Danny Roses, your Dele Allies,
as Jose does,
and Harry Winks. And what Ryan Mason has done is he's come back in, he's been in charge, and he's brought back the likes of Dele Alli, Harry Winks into the side. Now, obviously, they're playing the same position, Winks and Ndombele, and Mason has, you know, is just gone with a more English heartbeat or spine to the team. I do think it's a big miss for them, because what Ndombele gives you is, you know, that power in midfield. Yeah. You know, he's got great strength. Like you say, he's quick. He's always good, you know, to nick a goal here and there. And he is, you know, a difficult player to play against. He adds another dimension to that Spurs midfield. But then again, you know, when you have, you know, your three attackers like Bale, Son and Kane, Mason might be thinking, right, you know, we'll just sit back. I'll have a more solid spine and let these three play their football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a bit of a difficult position that you know, Ryan Mason has come into, obviously starting off with that final. You know, I don't think any of us sitting here expect him to get the job on a full-time basis. He doesn't expect to get the job on a full-time basis. And it's just about seeing the season out and, if possible, nicking a European place. And that's as good as it's going to get for Spurs this season.
All right. It's a 9:05 p.m. kickoff. Tottenham in seventh against Wolves in 12th. Not a lot to say about Wolves. They've underperformed this season. But the sight of Adama Traore getting oiled on the sidelines, ready to come on, it is just a sight to behold. It really is. I'd watch it for that. No, yes, don't look at me funny. I meant that in total footballing terms. On that note, we go into the break.
Lovely football, speed of that little passage of play.
Stay on the ball on BFM 89.9.
A two-goal lead, a picture of a goal, and that should be job done.
Stay on the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we're back after a good laugh during the break. To look forward to the FA Cup final, that's coming up, but a massive game, massive for West Brom. No, West Brom against Liverpool is Monday, 12:30. Now, we've seen what Liverpool have done. They go into the weekend knowing that a win will keep it alive, Bob Holmes. So, the way you look at it, West Brom, they're already down, but Sam Allardyce can maybe bloody the nose of another continental manager. It's what he does love so much.
Well, he seems to have accepted that his record has been broken, a record of never having been relegated. And he's showing interest in the job on a permanent basis at West Brom. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see whether they go for him or not. But Liverpool, yes, you could say that they've got some momentum now. And aside from the argument about United's fixtures and selections, during that 19 days, in the last 19 days, Liverpool only played two games and they were fresh for that game last night. And it showed. It definitely
it really showed,
didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. I think it could show in the run-in now.
Yeah.
They've got three games which on paper they should win with their eyes shut. But these are teams that have beaten Liverpool at Anfield this season. So they can't take them lightly. But I think they have shown that they can manage with a makeshift centre-back pairing. Whether it's Phillips and Williams or Phillips and Kabak, they've not let them down. That has to be said. The great story about missing all the centre-backs, Van Dijk, Matip and Gomez, yes, that was the spine of the team and it undermined the whole season. But actually, the guys that have been put in there have made a fist of it, made an honest job of it. And they have not really been the weakness. I think the weakness, I would say Mane and Firmino are the ones who have got to carry the can for this disappointing season as much as anybody. And Firmino got his two goals last night and may be rejuvenated. You know, a striker, he gets two goals, you know, he's a different player in the next game, isn't he? Mane came on, made his point to Jurgen Klopp, not very happy about being dropped. Maybe there's a spark been lit there. Jota played okay, scored a characteristic goal. So it's looking quite good for Liverpool now. They are, I would say they are favourites to get maximum points. And if they do that, then they're giving themselves a good chance because Leicester and Chelsea have got the FA Cup to worry about and then they play each other again.
Yeah.
And that's a situation where it can be difficult for both sides. You know, you think you've sussed out an opponent or you see too much of an opponent. You're not quite sure how to play it, who to pick. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And, you know, I hate to say this, but the league game is more important to those clubs than the FA Cup final. I hate to say it, but I can see Des wincing.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that.
Agree with me.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a sec when we talk about the FA Cup final. But for this one, Des, how would you change the Liverpool starting 11 to the Man United game? Would you keep this? Would you try? Is there a way you can shoehorn in Mane along with Jota, Firmino, and Salah?
Firstly, I'd strengthen us by playing two debutant teenage wingers. I think that's the way to go. That's the way you strengthen your teams. So
do that with the centre backs
really
anyway.
Okay. So West Brom at Anfield, 1-1 draw. That was the game that started the Liverpool jitters because Liverpool were leading 1-0.
Was that Big Sam's first game?
It was a second or third game. It was very early on and they came in. Liverpool dominated possession, but West Brom scored late. And that just seemed to rip the confidence out of Liverpool. And that was the start of the downward spiral. And then the six consecutive home defeats, etc. So this is there's a little bit of, not revenge, but Liverpool need to be wary and warned that West Brom are one of those big physical sides who very often cause them a problem. So I'm quite happy that Matt Phillips is there to be what that big physical object in the way of West Brom's big striker at the Diame, isn't it? Liverpool, looking, Mane rested, Firmino rested, Jota. I'm not as huge fan of Jota as everybody else is. I don't think he's the finished article there. He hit the post against United, but he really should have scored to really make the game safe. But he's scoring goals. I wouldn't go 4-2-3-1. I'd keep the 4-3-3 because I think you've got to win the physical battle against West Brom to have the chance to give the opportunities to Firmino and Salah, who again took his goal superbly against Man United, and be it Mane or Jota. Mane will come back. Mane's superb. He's just had one of those dreadful season. He had COVID. He's had one or two injuries. He says he's had tests to find out what's going on with him. Nothing's going on with him. He's just going through the first really sticky phase.
He's admitted it's not his best season.
Well, he's been sensational for 3 years, and you're allowed a dubious season. He's still scored double digits in terms of goals. In all competitions. So it's not exactly a write off. But so Liverpool have got momentum, but West Brom are horrible and Allardyce is horrible. West Brom to win this one 1-0.
Monday, 12:30, that one kicks off. Couldn't have put it. It went, you really couldn't script it. Des would have. All right, then. FA Cup final, Chelsea versus Leicester. It is Sunday. 12:15. It's at Wembley. There will be 6,000 fans for each side present. First of all, Craig, let's address the fact that Bob brought up. Is this important for both clubs?
Yeah, I mean, it's a major trophy at stake. There's no two ways about it. I mean, we can safely assume that none of them are going to field their under 23 side in this fixture.
Or debutant wingers.
Regardless of if it has an impact on other teams or not. It's a fantastic tie. And Leicester especially will be up for this. I mean, adding to the Premier League trophy that they've won recently, this will be a major, major step for them. And it's one of those steps where, how I see it is, if they win this FA Cup, they could be in that top, fighting for that Champions League spot for, season in, season out kind of thing, I just think that, it's a big, and for Tuchel as well, and Chelsea as well, it's a major, major trophy for them to win with the Champions League beckoning. That could give them the confidence going into that Champions League final as well, that boost that they probably, might need. And what a season that would be for Chelsea, yeah. FA Cup winners, possibly FA Cup winners, possibly Champions League winners. And Tuchel set there for another 3 years. It's remarkable. I mean, both teams will be up for this. This is a final you don't want to miss.
Tuchel's already said Kepa will start in goal for them. Chelsea, I understand.
Right, Leicester to win then.
Chelsea will be parading their 2021-2022 new kit. It's blue, but with patterns on it. Bob, Chelsea are raging favourites for this one going into it. But Leicester have got the X factor, and also they're looking for a first win in their history, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know about raging favourites. I would say they're favourites, firmish favourites, but not raging.
I dressed it up for raging. Yeah.
Leicester are the sort of team that can beat the so-called big boys. I think instead of big six, we should start referring to the best six. Or this season, it's probably best seven or eight, which has been great. That has been a feature of the season. West Ham coming through, Leicester being in the top four all season long. So that's been, you talk about the league not being as competitive as it used to be. The top end has been more competitive than it usually is. So that's a positive. But Leicester are a dangerous team. They've got the strikers who can score, and that is something. They can hang on, and they can allow the opposition to have 70% possession, but they can still score on the break. And that's probably what's going to happen. Thomas Tuchel will really want to win this. I mean, as a foreign manager coming in to England, to win a historic trophy in the first season would really be a feather in his cap. Make no mistake about that. The FA Cup is known throughout Europe and the world as a prestigious tournament. It's just a pity that it's been downgraded. It's a tragedy, in fact. I mean, for the first half of my life, the FA Cup was considered more prestigious than the league. Mm. I mean, I know that sounds hard to believe now. And even after winning the league, got you qualified for the European Cup and all that, there was still something about the FA Cup, that magical day.
Just to build on what you said there, Bob, people in Asia, where I grew up here, that the program they showed was Road to Wembley. They never showed league games. It was exactly. Only FA Cup games that were televised. And that's how we got into football. But all right, we're running out of time. So I'm gonna throw it to Des to predict the FA Cup final for us.
Okay, so for Awat, the chairman of Leicester City, this is his biggest occasion since he won silver for Thailand in the 2017 SEA Games in Kuala Lumpur. It's that big an occasion here at Wembley. Leicester, I'd love them to win. I'd love them to win. But the fact that we're seeing Leicester are outside of the big six financially when they're owned by a billionaire just tells you how crazy the finance of sports have become. for me, I think Chelsea will win it. I would love Leicester to win it because Brendan Rodgers has done things well. I hope Brendan Rodgers is brave and goes with his 3-4-3 formation. If he does, I don't know if Johnny Evans is fit and available. If Johnny Evans is fit and available, yeah. I think it makes a big difference for them because he is the organiser, be it a back four or a back three. If he's available, his experience, his know-how might just see them over the line. But I think Chelsea have got so much firepower, as they showed against Arsenal, even in defeat, where they battered Arsenal, threw away a goal, they battered Arsenal, somehow lost 1-0. You need those games out of your system before a big cup final, two cup finals, actually, because they play Leicester next week in the league as well. As Bob says,
three cup finals.
And yes, the Champions League. Forget the Champions League. Who cares about that? But it would be great for football, again, if Leicester were to do this. And I wish Brendan Rodgers all the very, very best. Be brave.
Yeah, I think Des just spoke
teenage
for all
wingers.
Of us here.
Teenage wingers, mate.
1969, the last time Leicester City got into the FA Cup final, they had a 19-year-old Peter Shilton in goal for them. They lost 1-0 to Man City. Right, that's it. We're out of time. So many thanks to Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks to Craig Marais.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Des Corkill.
And remember who it was who stopped the FA Cup being a big thing? Manchester United.
But that was because... No, that's it. We're out of time. Bye. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On The Ball on BFM 89.9.
It is now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.